Notice what it says. It admonishes you. The song admonishes you. How can that be? How can that be when you hear something like that and it admonishes you? What does admonish mean? When you say the word admonish, what sort of thoughts do you come up with? In a way, it kind of reproves you. It kind of corrects you, kind of puts you in the right framework so that you're not in the wrong framework. You know, you're being admonished to pay attention to something or whatever. Encourages, all of that, okay? When God admonishes us, it's for our soul's sake, isn't it? When he admonishes us, I want you to think about something. When they're singing these songs, a lot of times the thought of God is what's in the song. So what is really admonishing you? The thought of God. So it's the Spirit that is admonishing, right? Through the praise that you are offering to God. So you're praising him. You're receiving admonishment because the thought of God is in it. You start thinking on some of those things that you hear in those things. Guess what? It takes you into a spiritual realm. You know why? Because it's the thought of God in song, in praise. So what we're actually getting is the thought of God. Start thinking about it that way. Try to get more of that into you music-wise than other things, okay? Not that I'm saying other things are wrong. I like dancing. I heard some old music last night. My son's band was playing last night down at the what is it? Territorial Mall? Old Main Street. Heard some old stuff, some Al Green stuff and Stevie Wonder, whatever. Brings back memories of those times, whatever. But that's not the admonishment of God in those songs. Ah, it's just something I hear here. And people, you know, religion tell, oh, you sin. Ooh, you need to stay away from that, man. Hey, let me tell you something. It's like anything else here. People used to say, oh, man, you shouldn't have a TV in your house. You know why? Because the devil comes through the TV. Hey, how about having power over the TV? How about being able to look at something and shut it off if you don't like it? And whatever it shows you, you can discern within yourself what's of God and what's not. And that there's something physical here. I get entertained by movies all the time. A bunch of lies on that screen I'm looking at. But I can separate that. I can separate that. I enjoyed Guardians of the Galaxy. I had a good time watching that, you know? But I also know that it's just entertainment. That's all it is, something to fill my time that I enjoy while I'm here. No big deal. But somebody come along and try to put me in a law concerned about me going to see a movie, get out my face, man. I don't have time for that. I'm not under a law. See? So if faith came by the law, we would have nothing because man can't keep a law, can he? Wouldn't have nothing. Faith didn't come by the law, man. It came by Abraham before the law, didn't it? Yeah, we're going to talk about that a little bit. But we're on, right? So let me talk to you a little bit about something. Prophecy, guys. What is it about prophecy that has to happen? That has to happen. It has to come to pass. If it's prophecy from God, it has to, doesn't it? Even when these elders prophesy things into you or into your life, where is it really coming from for them to prophesy it to you? It's coming from heaven. It's coming from God, man. And so here's the thing. I think Dan made a point of it on his lesson. You know, we say, hey, we want to go to the Father. We want to do this. We do that. Well, you'll never find him until you get to Jesus Christ first. Doesn't he have to reveal him to you? So is everything about Jesus? Let's turn to something here. I want you to catch this. Go to Colossians 1:16, I think it is. I better read it because I want it to go on the thing here. Yeah, somebody has to, but I can read this. So. Or you can give it to somebody and they can read it for me. 1:16 and 17, Colossians. No, I'll let you read it.
Colossians 1:16. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible.
So nothing works unless it's by him, right? All things consist, right? Everything, okay? And think about this. All things were created that are in heaven, earth, visible and invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. All things were created by him and for him. Wait a minute. He created them and they were for him. Isn't that true? So what's not under that? You're not even going to find the Father unless he shows them to you. Isn't that true? Think about what I'm saying here. Everything was done. So I'm going to take you back to something. We talk about the faith of Abraham, right? Where'd he get it from? Didn't he? You get it? All things were created by him, for him, by him. Everything, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all the powers that are, were created by him and for him. You notice it says that too, huh? So is he going to partake of his own creation? Yes. This is very powerful, guys. And then here's the other thing. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh, but there was never any sin in him. He had to appear in an image we can understand, but he came in the likeness of it because he has no sin. Did his mind ever sin? Ever? Did sin ever enter his mind? No. He had power over it, didn't he? So the mind of the Father was in the Son. The Son's mind was in the Father's also by obedience, wasn't it? He was going to do everything the Father told him to do, right? He was our example of that. Obedience to the Father. Obedience even unto death. Right? It's all powerful in this thing here. So he did that. So here's the thing. If all things consist by him, was the prophecy that the Father put in place going to consist of him? It's all about Jesus, isn't it? It's all about leading to Jesus. What did all the prophets preach about? They were all leading to who? All leading to Christ. That's powerful, huh? And he gave them all of that to lead them to that. Think about it. Wow. If all things were created by him and for him, dominions, thrones, principalities, everything, powers. You see how this works? So you're not going to find the Father unless you come by the Son. Son reveals the Father to you. Isn't that true? I'm going to read you another scripture here this is so powerful if you can catch it. We won't be before you long today. I think it's Galatians chapter 2. I've been talking to you about these cities and these walls and so forth, foundations. We've gone through over all of that, haven't we? About foundations and whatever. You can't build on a foundation unless it's Jesus Christ. You know, he's the cornerstone. We are built upon the prophets and the apostles, with Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. He is the foundation of all things. We just read it before. Every throne, every dominion, every power, every principality, everything that is going to be and consist of anything is going to be by him, right? Even the faith that you have is given to you by Christ. So this is the thing that we need to understand, that he is preeminent in all of these things. By him, how does it say it? All the Godhead is in him bodily. All the Godhead is in him bodily. Look at the power that he manifests and what he's trying to do. So it's very important for us to understand that this prophecy has come forth for us. It's for every one of you in here, every one of you. And it's laying a foundation so that when Christ comes along, there can be a reaping of what's been sown. I think that's what Dan talked about. But that's not where I'm going. I want to go a different way with this. All of these things that Jesus did, do you think it was all a preparation for you to be able to get to the point where you can start understanding that these things that were spoken about in the Word are actually taking place in you? Sometimes we speak it. We say, oh, we know the apostles are traveling, you know, like the book of Acts, and they're in me and whatever. But when you say that, are you saying that from a knowledge of what you've read in the scriptures? Or are you believing that this is actually taking place in you, in your world? And that the prophecy that prophesied all of these things coming to pass, everything that was prophesied about Jesus, is taking place in you. Is it in your world? We've talked many times about there's many worlds, there's many Jesuses, huh? There's actually only one Jesus, but it's in different what? There. Isn't that where it's at? Many Satans, many gods, because all of us are individuals, aren't we? It's in every one of you. You have to let that work in you, the Jesus in you, the Son in you, so that you can obtain the things that have been promised to you. Isn't that true? I have to do it in me. You have to do it in you. And by the way that God does these things, do you think he does them by happenstance, or do you think they've all been predetermined by God? Yes. Because doesn't he know you from the beginning? You think this is new to him, our life that we're living here now? Or do you think he's always known it? He's always known it, guys. You live it day by day, and there's surprises to you about your life. But no surprises to God. We have to start thinking about what it is that's actually going on in us. So, the reason I said that is that prophecy will be fulfilled in you. If you believe God's word, Evelyn, it will be fulfilled. It's as simple as that. But you have to believe it. You have to believe it to the point where no one can sway you. And when I say no one, I mean your own mind can't sway you. We worry about so many people out there. There's not going to be too many people who's going to take a thought in their mind and come, I'm going to specifically come to Evelyn and try to see if I can make her break everything she believes in God. That's not how it works, is it? Now, is there something within that can come do that? And specifically come to your thought and say, well, now this is what we're talking about, right? How many of you realize the thing with Eve and all that stuff was happening in here? That serpent was speaking and convincing. Isn't it true? Wasn't that Adam's soul? Wasn't it happening within Adam? Yes, it was. Was Adam asleep? All these started happening after he went to the deep sleep, didn't it? You see where I'm going with this? How many of you think of it as something outside, a second person or something going, no. That happened in him. And death came, didn't it? Oh, it came, didn't it? Had he ever experienced death before? He hadn't, had he? But he sure did then, didn't he? Oh my God, this is what death is all about. A separation from God. Me losing all the dominion I had, and now we're going to have to regain it through God now, huh? We're going to have to come back and allow God to teach me why I did what I did. Isn't that powerful? Think he's still doing it? Think he's still teaching you? Okay. We made up laws. Remember I told you, I talked about these cities. There are other cities we've built too. We built those by law. And when I talk about law, I'm not talking about the Mosaic law. Well, that could be part of it. But really, I'm talking about the law that's in your mind, the law of sin and death. Does that work in everybody? Oh, yes, it does. There's a law working in you that's opposite of the law of God, which is freedom by the Spirit, the liberty in the Spirit. Okay? It's life. Isn't it? They're talking about the Spirit and life, isn't it? That law. It's the law of Christ, that Spirit and life in you. And you notice I'm not quoting it the other way. I want you to understand this is Spirit and this is life. Now, a heavenly being can't die like you can as a man and shed blood like this, huh? But what does he shed? What does he lose? Life, eternal life. I can't stick an angel and say now all your blood's going to come out. But an angel can mess up big time and lose his life, can he? Ask Lucifer. Ask him what happened to him. What came out? That eternal life. There was a fall, wasn't there? So I want you to think about something here. That first church of those churches, that was Lucifer's church. He was the first angel to fall, right? And he was over that church. And remember the things it said about it? Thou can't stand them that are evil and all these other things. And what would say the deeds of the Nicolaitans? All of that stuff is in there. Now stop and think about this for a second. If you're an immature angel, immature, and you're trying to run the things of God, that would be like, let's pick one of the deacons and put him over all the churches. And Rick and all those guys, they step back. They don't do nothing. And then put them over. How do you think the church would go for a while here, after a while? Come on, be honest. How do you think it would go? Yeah. Why do you think the apostle is there? You see where I'm going with this? Sometimes we think we have what we need in order to do everything. That's what you're here to learn. That's what you're here to learn. Those things. You see where I'm getting at? So, is it good that we have apostles? Without them, we'd be done, guys. Without them. They're angels, aren't they? Aren't they an ascend to us? We'd be done. We wouldn't have nothing. Aren't they Christ? Aren't they? Sure. Without them, we'd be done. So try imagining your life, living your life without a spiritual Christ in it. There are people that live their lives without a spiritual Christ. It's called religion. Think about what I just said. They think they know the Spirit and things, and really they are so far from it. So are they living what they think is a spiritual life and it really isn't? But us that know the Spirit and understand the things of God, oh my God. So wouldn't you think it's a great blessing to be in fellowship with Christ? To have this truth? So these petty things that happen in the world, when religion does things, you shouldn't allow that to creep into you here in the truth. Because it's not worthwhile, guys. In religion, everybody always tried to outdo everybody else. Always tried to compare. Always tried to do this. Always tried, I have to know more than you. I have to do that. Pride was everywhere. And I built up my own kingdom. I got 3 churches, man. And the one church I have has 18,000 people in it. All of them lost. Think about what I just said. All of them lost. Rick Warren, man, 40,000 people. He ministers every Sunday to 40,000 people. Wow. Is it Saddleback is what he has? Isn't that what it is called? In California? 40-acre campus. Everything, man. He's got everything going. Wrote 2 best-selling books. The Purpose-Driven Church, I think it was one of them. Purpose-Driven something else for business or whatever. Can't remember all the different things. Bestsellers. 20 million copies sold of those things. Think about it. Obviously, God must be in his corner, huh? You think? You think? You better be very careful about what you see as success here. Don't let that fool you. What you need to understand is what is going on in your life. Have 40,000 thoughts been converted to Christ? Now, look at that. What happened on the day of Pentecost? That 120 and those 3,000 that were brought in, was that inside Peter? Yes, it was. So does it need to be in you? The same thing that happened to him needs to happen to us. 3,000 souls saved in your resurrection. You see where I'm going with this? And is Peter in you? So did it happen in you? So now it's time for you to do the same thing, huh? Let it happen in you for your world. Isn't that true? All those things were in him. This is very powerful. You have to understand where you're at. How many people would love to know and understand that all the prophets, all the apostles, Christ himself, angels, everything is all in you? You think they understand that? It's not understood. They're seeking for that, that someday they might see it. Or something might happen and they can attain to it. No, you have it. It is in you. And don't be fooled. These children listen to that. Don't you know they've come to recognize that these things that you've taught them, they're in them. You keep putting it to them. Say, this is actually in you. You can access it. This is the thing that's cool. So let me read you the scripture. I think it's from Galatians chapter 2. Verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. And don't think Mosaic law. Think about that law of sin and death. In other words, you may not have a Mosaic law working. Some people never even heard about a Mosaic law, but they got the law of Huber Kenny working in them or the law of Ernest Ballard working in them. You see what I mean? You got a law working in you that opposes God. Or else you wouldn't be here to try to get over that Antichrist thought so that you can become part of God. You see, this is the whole deal. So knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, in your mind you say, I got to do this, this, and this, and this in order to enter heaven when you have a law. Isn't that true? Oh, and if you mess up on something and you feel condemned, say, ooh, I got to take care of this and I got to overcome this thing and I got to clean myself up. Then what did Jesus die on the cross for? If that's the case, I got to get these things in order, man. I got to perform this work. If I read enough, pray enough, go to enough Bible studies, do this, man, I'll have it. Really? What if I told you did all of that and you were still lost? Oh, you see where I'm going with this? Very powerful, guys. So, catch this again. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith. And I want you to look at how this works. Hey, son, how this works. It says, by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Catch what it says. I want you to catch this. Not faith in Jesus Christ, but the faith of Jesus Christ. Is this Jesus Christ's faith? Let's read it. Justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, it's going to repeat it. Even we have believed in Christ, in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Written twice now, huh? Is there a faith of Christ that needs to exist in you? That's his? Ah. You see where I'm going with this? It's his, isn't it? And look, and why does it need to be there? And not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So this faith that's of Christ that you partake of justifies you. It's the faith of Christ, not in him, what you think you believe in him. It's his faith in you. His faith working in you. And guess what you have to do? You have to allow it to work or else you'll never be justified. You get it? You will never be justified. You need to let his faith, which he is, what is faith? It's him. It's that word. It's the word he's given you that you believe in truth. That's what you have to let work because it's his faith. It's of him. And he's working in you. By that, you can be justified. In a way, Dan was talking about that. It's not a matter of just knowing scriptures and saying, well, I know da-da-da-da-da. That's nice. There's people out in the world who know scriptures. In fact, there's people out in the world who run scriptures around you. You'd never be able to keep up with them, but they don't know squat about God. They have no experience in God. See how this works? There's a guy that comes on TV. He can quote scriptures. How many of you have ever seen Jack Van Empe? Holy Toledo. He doesn't even look at his Bible, does he? He just starts quoting. And Isaiah, this, and he quotes whole passages of Isaiah. Never looks at a Bible, never looks at a teleprompter, nothing. He's learned this over 30-something years of doing what he calls prophecy. He just tells you. He said, and then this is why he matches scriptures up and goes back and forth and all this stuff. And this is why the tribulation is going to be this way and all this stuff. Hey, let me tell you guys something. There's no pre-trib, there's no mid-trib, there's no post-trib. And what if I was to tell you that the tribulation is the tribulation in you? And it comes because of the word of God and not because of something that's going to happen in this physical world, somebody sitting on a throne in Jerusalem. What if I told you that? What if I told you the greatest tribulation you have is caused by the thoughts of your mind? That's why you have tribulation. That's why you do get tormented. That's why you don't sleep good sometimes. That's why you don't have any peace. The tribulation is already working in you. Does that make sense? And it's there because of the word of God. Wait, what do you mean because of the word of God? Well, you think you know it and you don't. So your thought about it is going to trouble you because you're wondering why certain things don't come to pass and why they don't work. How many people have you seen people busted and disgusted in this physical realm because God didn't answer their prayer here? Heal my body. Buy me a new van. Get me a new house. Get me a new husband. Get me a new wife, whatever. And when it doesn't come to pass, what happens? Busted and disgusted. I lay hands on it and claim it. Claim it all you want. Wow. And the prosperity message. Give the man of God $1,000 and you will be blessed. You don't give it, you're going to be cursed. Wait. Because you didn't give a man $1,000, you're going to be cursed? Wait a minute. What if I was to tell you the tribulation of the word is because you don't understand it? And some of us that think we understand it still don't understand it. Hey, I'm not trying to cut you down. I'm trying to tell you we have to learn. Isn't that true? So we think we know. We don't know. That's why we need God. That's why we need the apostles. That's why we need to be taught. They all shall be taught of God. Well, who's going to do the teaching? The apostle will, won't he? God will. Holy Ghost. Bring all things to your remembrance, huh? Whatsoever I've said. Well, how's he said it to you? Did he say it to you through dreams and visions? Sometimes. Did he say it through the apostles? Sometimes. Did he say it through fellowship? Sometimes. Yeah, you're going to get it here a little, there a little, aren't you? But you got to be there in order to do it. Ah, isn't that cool? You got to partake of it in order to get it. Ah. That's where the faith and the faithfulness comes in, guys. Is God faithful? Has God ever let you down? No. So why let him down? Let's do what God wants us to do. But there are people that go to church all the time. Hey, here's the thing that they don't realize, and this is what's getting us. Genesis 6. Let's read this again. Genesis 6. You don't want to know where religion came from? People don't understand where religion came from. Let's go back to Genesis 6. This is where religion came from, starting at the very first verse. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Uh-oh. Isn't that a problem? Are they already in a fallen state? Yeah, they are. But they're still sons of God, huh? But they're saying, we're sons of God. Here comes that pride. We're going to do what we want to do. So we're going to choose daughters of men. I just told you where men multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them. These weren't godly daughters. Ah, but they said, we're going to take them anyway. And we're still going to say we belong to God. No, you don't. You just married up with something that opposes God. You get it? And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Oh, so that's why he says the next statement then, huh? I'm not going to always strive with man. Man thinks he knows and he doesn't know. So God said, my spirit ain't going to go along with that. Didn't he tell you that? He said, it's not going to be that way. So here's the thing here. For that he also is flesh. So can the spirit get along with the flesh, Ernest? Are they always at war with one another? The spirit of God wants to do one thing. The flesh wants to do another. And we talk about the flesh being this. The flesh is the thoughts in our world, isn't it? So are your thoughts always opposing God unless you know God? That's the way it works. That's the way it works. Wow. Yet his days shall be 120 years. That's a mercy from God even there. He's giving you time to learn about him. Now that you done messed up. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. Catch what I'm saying now. Catch. Thor, Spider-Man, Jupiter, Zeus. You catch where I'm going with this? We put a lot of emphasis on superheroes, don't we? And on gods that have strength. Zeus sits on Olympus. You get it? These men had to make gods so they can be satisfied to have a god. They didn't want to serve the true God anymore. Where do you think all these demigods came from? Where do you think all the gods that Buddha talks about and Confucianism and all that, where do you think all of them come from? Where do you think that the Hindu gods that have the six arms and all that stuff and whatever, and where do you think they all come from? They had to create a god to worship. Because they didn't know the true God anymore. The sons had married the daughters of men. They were in a fallen state. They never allowed God to teach them that he was the one and only true God. And that's where you started religion. And then after a while, there was a thing called the Nicene Council in 325 AD. Constantine said, and he had conquered most of the known world, and he had all the Christians under his thumb, torturing them and all kinds of stuff. But the move was so great, he said this, I'll become a Christian. But I'm going to be the head of the church. Uh-oh. a man the head of the church? Uh-oh. Have we been in trouble ever since? We have these guys going to Bible schools, getting doctors of theology and all this stuff, and they're the worst ones because they think they know God by knowledge, and God said, I ain't with that. You got to know me by spirit. You got to know me because you've experienced me, not because you think you know enough from book learning. If that was the case, everybody go to a book. Learn something about it, and salvation is yours. I'm going to tell you this. There are people who go to the Bible every day and think salvation is theirs. Let me tell you something, it's not, because they can't interpret it right. They cannot get the Word of God right. Why do you think you have 20,000 religions? Because they still can't get it right. There's got to be a right way, isn't there? Man, aren't you glad that God's been showing you the right way? It has to be from within you. Christ is in you. You have people saying, please, Jesus, come down and get in my heart and whatever. They don't realize Christ has always been there. It's just that he's hidden to them because they're in darkness. They don't understand. But if they call on the God and they start believing him to the point where God can manifest himself, guess what? Things will change, won't they? Think, why are you here? Why are you here? We did that, huh? God is doing something, man. This is powerful stuff. So, this faith of Jesus, let's go back to, I didn't read one part. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's religion. Evil continually. Thinking you're serving God. But here's the thing. This faith of Jesus, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But catch this next one. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. Now, this goes back to, remember I've been talking to you about the walls and all this? Look at verse 18. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a what? So if we bring the truth to you and you allow the walls to be torn down because of lack of understanding and merchandising and all of that, and if you build again that law that he just delivered you from, the law of sin and death, not good, huh? Not good to build it again, huh? We're talking about two different cities, two different walls, two different foundations, two different temples, aren't we? You want to build that again? If I build again. Think about what I'm saying. You want to build that again after Christ has come to you and showed you the truth and showed you the Spirit of God, the truth of what that Spirit actually means and how it works in you? Do you want to go back and rebuild like religion does all the time? You want to go back and rebuild again that thing that caused you to fall in the first place? You want to rebuild that? No. Paul's making a big point here, isn't he? If I rebuild it again, if I do it again, in Hebrews 6 it said, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, is there? It's impossible to bring him to what? Repentance. They went and built something else, man. Left the truth. And it's impossible to renew them again unto what? Repentance. Because they knew this, didn't they? But they allowed wisdom, understanding of man, and what? Merchandising to come in. And it tore that foundation up, man. And then they try to rebuild this one by a law in themselves again. Law of sin and death. And we've seen it. Are there some that used to be among us that are now gone? What'd they try to do? Their way. Through wisdom and understanding of man and not God. You see how this works? Merchandising it too. Sharing it with others, didn't they? And bring others into a condemnation, into a fall. You don't want to do that. You don't want to go back to the law of sin and death. You want to be delivered from that. You want that law that's of the Spirit and of Christ, right? That's what you want. You want life. And you have to go to somebody that knows it, that they can teach you so that you can have it. So isn't it such a blessing to know that you're in prophecy and that prophecy has to come to pass? If God prophesies something, does it ever fail? No. But have you seen people in this world lay hands on you and prophesy for you and nothing comes to pass? Were they liars? They were false prophets, weren't they? Wouldn't you like a true prophet? I'm not even talking about a man. I'm talking about God, the true prophecy. Wouldn't you like the true prophecy of God to work in your life? Only way you're ever going to get it, guys, stick with the truth. Stick with it. This is a very powerful thing. There is a faith of Jesus in you. And one guy went and buried his, huh? It's prophecy in you, isn't it? The faith of Jesus that started working in you from the beginning. Because you were in union with him. That's why. It's a faith of Jesus that he put in you. Let it work. Let it work. And it will bring you, fulfill all that prophecy, the things he said in his word. The only true prophecy is with the prophecy you see in the word. Were all those things fulfilled? Everything that was prophesied in the Old Testament, was it fulfilled? The stuff prophesied in the book of Revelation, is it fulfilled? Sure, because Christ did it. God did it. And he never fails. But man has said this and that. And that. How many times have you heard men say, Christ is coming. In 1989, he was supposed to come. 1992, he was supposed to come. 2001, he was supposed to come. No, 2000, because, you know, we had all the computer chips. Yeah, Y2K, and he was supposed to come then. Yeah, that was supposed to be it. And then those guys in Tucson that killed themselves and laid in beds because some spaceship with Christ on it was going to come by and get them. So all of them died. And they predicted how many times now? Jack Van Impe said like three different times because of the revelation of the prophecies he knows that Christ is coming in this day. What if I was to tell you he's not coming from the outside, he comes within? They got it all wrong. All of it's wrong. Christ comes in here. You don't have to ask him in. He's already there. You just have to take knowledge of him now. And so that he's not hidden you anymore. That he's not in darkness. Wow. Didn't the scripture say he lighteth every man that cometh into the world? Ah. How come they keep skipping this stuff? Because they don't know. It's as simple as that. They do not know. There is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is what? Death. What if I was to tell you all of this stuff that you hear out there is leading them to death, and they don't even know it? They're just happy-go-lucky skipping to death. That's what they're doing. I'm heading there. I know Jesus for myself. Yeah, you do? What if I told you going to death and hell? Because you do not know. Does that make me better than them by any chance? No. I'm blessed because I've learned what God wants me to learn. I'm still learning it. God's going to teach me till I die, man, until I get out of here. And we're all going to learn. And even when we die, does that end everything? It's just a beginning, isn't it? Then we live our life with Christ, huh? In the way he wants us to live it. And that's a mystery within itself for some people. How are you going to live this life? We got to live it as an apostle, don't we? Got to live it as a Christ, as an angel. Isn't that true? This is what people don't understand. So I just wanted to get across to you today. Prophecy is going to come to pass in your life. There's no way that it will not as long as you remain faithful to God. You have to have the faith of Jesus in you so that you can fulfill all this prophecy. And you know what you'll do with that? You'll make the fellowships, you'll make the Bible studies, you'll pray, you'll do everything you need to do. Isn't that true? You'll fellowship, you'll talk to the elders, you'll call them, you'll get answers. You will do that because you want to make this thing. And the faith of Jesus is working in you to help you do it. Isn't that true? His faith is working in you to do it. You ever thought about it that way? His faith is helping you to do it. It's only when you deny that faith and try to go by your own understanding, then you're putting him aside then, aren't you? You see how that works? Let his faith work in you. Let it work in you. And then allow God to lead you into life everlasting. Powerful thing, man. Thank you. I hope you got some.